Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Tonight we're going to look at the healing of Israel. We know that Moses, after he had been healed himself, rose up and continued his journey into Egypt, where he was to bring God's people, the children of Israel, out from under Egyptian bondage. And so Moses did just that. He was faithful with everything that God had called him to do. He went into Egypt. He preached to Pharaoh. He preached to God's people. And he brought God's people out of Egypt. And again, these people, the Israelites, were slaves. They had been slaves for over 400 years. Generation after generation of slaves. So you know these folks were a broken people. They were a broken people. They were an overworked group of people. They had been beaten and abused. They were poorly clothed and had poor living conditions. They were underfed. How many of you know they didn't eat the fatted calf? They didn't eat the best of the land, did they? I mean, these are enslaved people. So they had nutritional deficiencies. So you know a lot of these folks were sickly. A lot of these folks probably suffered from heat stroke, being out there in the sun. They had taskmasters assigned to them that continuously forced them to work and had no mercy on them. The Egyptians over time had become more and more cruel to these Israelite people. So these were a broken people, a sickly people, an oppressed group of people. Yet I want you to notice what the Bible says in Psalm 105. When God had brought them out from under Egyptian bondage. Psalm 105, in verse 37, it says, he also brought them out with silver and gold. Sounds like prosperity. How many people know these folks did not have silver and gold? They had no money of their own. They were slaves. They were the government's property. They belonged to somebody else. But here it says, when they came out of Egypt, they came out of there with silver and gold. In other words, they came out of there rich. They came out of there prosperous. Suddenly, a people who had no money suddenly had more than they knew what to do with. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't he? Brought them out with silver and gold. And then watch this. And there was none feeble among his tribes. None feeble. Imagine that. These are an oppressed group of people. These folks are broken down. They've been beaten and abused their whole life. Generation after grandpa was abused. Papa, mama was abused. They were abused. These folks were not in good shape. And yet, when they came out of Egypt, there wasn't a feeble one among them. Well, that would include the elderly, wouldn't it? Not one feeble person. Do you think there must have been some crippled people among the Israelites? I mean, there are millions of people. When we're talking about the Israelites, there was some 3 to 4 million people that came out of Egypt. You can have just a little group of people, praise God, in a church service. And 9 out of 10 times, you know, you'll have an altar call for healing. Has anybody got anything wrong with you physically? And you're going to have a line of people. Just in a small group of people. We're talking about millions of people. Not one feeble one. That means all those cripples, or anybody that was lame, anybody that was weak and undernourished and sickly, they were all suddenly, somehow, completely healed. So that they all could make the journey out of Egypt towards the promised land. Hallelujah. Now you got to watch about watching your movies, because it just popped into my mind the movie The Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. How many of you ever saw that? Stay away from that stuff. But just popped into my head, had a flashback. And I, you know, the producers, they get in there and they try to make things realistic, you know. And so it shows the children of Israel, just I see it in my mind, the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, and they show them carrying stretchers. And feeble people, just in agony. Just in agony being drawn. Probably you don't remember that. But that just jumped out in my mind. That was actually in the program. That is unscriptural. That's why I don't preach from the movies. I don't preach from the movie version. I had somebody ask me, so he said, did you see the movie The Passion? And he was kind of mocking me because he thought I was out of touch because I didn't go see the movie The Passion. Everybody's seen the movie The Passion. He's like, it was like I was out of touch. He said, you mean you didn't see the movie The Passion? I said, well, I read the book. He said, oh, okay. He still didn't know what I was talking about. I said, well, I read the book. And I looked, I said, the Bible. Yeah. So you got to go back to the Bible, see? Get the details. When God brought them out, they came out, they were enriched with silver and gold, and they were healthy, every age, every person, strong, healthy, and fit, and ready for the journey. Glory to God. And what was the secret to everyone in that nation being completely healed? And so here in Exodus, the 12th chapter, in verse 5, God is giving instructions to Moses and Aaron concerning having the Passover, the first Passover, which they were to then keep year after year. And we'll just jump down here, verse 5. It says, your lamb shall be without blemish. So they're all supposed to take a lamb. Every house is to take a lamb. And it shall be without blemish. How many people know Jesus? There was no sin in him. There was no sin in Jesus. And so this lamb is a type of Jesus. The Old Testament is a type and a shadow of what was to come under the new covenant through the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Jesus himself said when he walked the earth, he said to the religious people of his day, he said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life, but they are that which testify of me, but you're unwilling to come to me. They are that which testify of me. The Old Testament testifies of Jesus. It's a type and a shadow of Jesus. This lamb is a type of Jesus. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep and from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now there's tons here. We're not going to get into it all. But from the type of lamb to the time that the lamb was actually to be killed. And notice this, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Remember, it was the whole assembly of Israel standing out there shouting, crucify him. The Romans didn't want to kill him. Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor, he didn't want to crucify him. He didn't want to kill him. He didn't want to kill Jesus. But it was the congregation of Israel that demanded his death. To be killed at twilight. That was at the time that Jesus also was crucified. Verse 7. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread, with bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Let's jump down here to verse 13. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So notice this, he's telling them that they need to apply the blood to their doorposts of their houses, take the lamb, apply the blood, and eat the flesh. Apply the blood and eat the flesh. And of course, Jesus told us to do a very similar thing in communion. He said, "This is my body, which is delivered up for you. Eat it." We're to eat Jesus' flesh, right? And this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Drink it. Matter of fact, let's just hold your place here and go there to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In verse 23, it says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Remember, he is the New Testament, blemish-free Lamb of God. And so he told them, eat the flesh of the lamb and apply the blood. Here he says, eat my flesh, the flesh of the real lamb, the antitype, not just the type, but the antitype, the real deal, the fulfillment of the old. Eat my flesh. Verse 25, "In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.' Therefore," watch this, "whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." So the Lord takes this very serious, this communion, this partaking of his body, partaking of his blood. He says this in verse 28, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." In other words, make sure your heart is right with God before you do this. Don't do this just in the flesh. Do this in faith. Do this in the love of God. Verse 29, "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." Now watch this next verse. "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep or are dead." Notice that, not discerning the Lord's body could be the cause for being sickly, weak, broken down, and even the cause for premature death. If not discerning it would cause you to be sickly, then discerning it would cause you to be healthy. Right? Well, friends, this is the real Lamb of God. Under the old covenant, through the type and the shadow lamb that was slain and eaten and the blood applied, the people were completely healed. How much more than with the real thing? Would you and I be completely healed and strong, and there wouldn't be one feeble one among us if we discerned and partook of in by faith the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, the sicknesses of the world, the diseases of the world, the poverty of the world, the demonic oppression of the world. He takes away it all. If they all, by partaking of it, completely healed them, how much more should you and I be completely healed by partaking of the Passover lamb? I'm telling you, the children of Israel, they partook of the Passover lamb. And what happened? The destroyer, death, wasn't able to come in and kill the firstborn. Again, look at verse 13 of Exodus 12. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Now if you'd stop right there, once again, the Old Testament is making it sound like the Lord is going to strike and kill the Egyptians. In fact, he's going to kill anybody that doesn't have the blood over their houses. Right? Does it make sense? He's going to strike them. Is that what it says? But I want you to notice, just come a little bit further. Verse 22. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So notice that again, verse 23 starts off by saying the same thing verse 13 said. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians. But then as the verse continues, he says the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. Well, we know from the New Testament exactly who the destroyer is. It's the devil. He is the destroyer. And so here it's letting us know it's really the destroyer, Satan, that is looking to kill. That is looking to kill these people. And so the Lord gives the people a way out. He provides a way of protection. And it's the blood of a lamb, which is symbolic of the blood that he himself would shed later on. So he's giving them his blood on credit, knowing that he will pay the debt when he comes. It's just like a credit card, you know. If you don't have the money, you shouldn't do this, but if you don't have the money, then you can charge with your credit card with the agreement that you'll pay it back later. Isn't that right? So that's what these types and shadows were. The people were being provided with the atonement of Christ on credit before Christ actually came. So Jesus, when he came, he paid for all the debt that was piled up from the Old Testament. And then he paid in advance for you and I and everybody else who was to come. Come on, are you with me? Hallelujah. So Jesus paid it all. But notice this here. It says, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. So by applying the blood, the Lord protected the people. So you know, the only reason why you would do this, the only reason why you would kill a lamb and put blood over the door of your house and do all these things is because you believe. You believe in the word that the Lord gave through Moses. You believe it. And so they acted in faith on the word of God through Moses. And so that blood was their faith in action. And the Lord had something to work with. And the Lord, when he saw the blood, he said, no, they're covered. And he just, what does it say? The Lord will pass over the door. As the devil's going by, he said, can't touch this. Can't come in here. Can't come into my house. Oh, thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Thank God for the blood of the Lamb. Not only did it keep death from destroying the firstborn of Israel, but it did such a thorough job that it drove death in the form of sickness, disease, and feebleness right out of the whole camp.
only did it protect them from the firstborn being killed, but it drove death out of the whole camp in every form that death might come in.
The people experienced a thorough healing. Oh, hallelujah. Come on. That is shouting material right there. Now, you get a hold of it. You get in faith about this. Glory to God. That destroyer come knocking at your door. Some kind of symptom come knocking on your door. And you'll just stand there and say, you can't touch this. You can't touch this. Come on. The blood still works today, friends. There is still power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So, you know, let's be determined. Let's stand up. Let's apply the blood. Let's stand in faith. Let's rejoice and know the destroyer can't come in my house. In fact, we're not even going to be feeble in my house. Yeah, but when you get to be my age, tell that to the children of Israel. I had someone just telling me this morning. Just this morning. You know, well, you know, you get to be a certain age, things start slowing down. And, you know, she started going on about how things start slowing down, you know, and things start not working as well anymore. And you're more susceptible to problems as you get older. I said, well, if you think that way, that's exactly how it'll be. I said, but a lot of it has to do with your mind, how you think and how you believe. And I was able to share a little bit, not a whole lot, try to help her out a little bit. There wasn't one feeble one among the whole bunch. It didn't matter what their age was. Didn't matter what their age was. They weren't feeble because they had supernatural wonder-working power. Power working on their behalf. Hallelujah. Somebody say, Christ is my Passover lamb. I'm partaking of his flesh right now by being a partaker of his word. And his blood is over my life. The blood of Jesus is over my life. No devil can touch me. Hallelujah. Praise God forever. So now the children of Israel rise up. They're all healthy. They're all strong. They had the lamb last night. And they're blessed. Hallelujah. And so they, you know the story, they come out of Egypt. The Red Sea splits. And they go across the Red Sea as on dry land. And I mean, they're just thrilled. They're just tickled to life. They're just thrilled. They're just excited. They're just dancing, carrying on, having a party out there on the other side of the Red Sea. And you come over to chapter 15, and they're just singing. I mean, that's, you know, verse 1, then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, I'll sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider, horse and its rider has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. And so they're singing along. And you come down to verse 22 and it says, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went into the wilderness of Shur and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. Now, when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. Bitter. And the people sang songs and praised God, for he has drowned the rider in the sea. No. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Oh. 3 days later, they had service on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. They were running around the room on Sunday, but a few days at work. And you come to Wednesday, Sunday's gone forever. The remembrance of it is gone forever too. And now we're singing, but it's the blues. And so their song has turned into murmuring. Isn't that awful? 3 days. Just watch the Red Sea, the whole thing. 3 days. They think they're going to die of thirst. They don't think God's going to take care of them. Just split an entire body of water. And they fear not having enough water. It's amazing, isn't it? But the Lord's good. He's very merciful. The people murmured. Verse 25. So he, Moses, cried out to the Lord. And the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I'm the Lord who heals you. That's who he is. If healing went out with the last apostle, then the Lord went out with the last apostle, because the Lord is our healer. That's who he is. So notice this, the children of Israel are in a situation, they come down to the water, and the waters are bitter. Friend, this is another type and shadow of our redemption through Jesus Christ. The bitter water here represents multitudes of people. Whenever you see waters in the Word of God, it's talking about multitudes of people, symbolically. Multitudes of people made bitter through sin, sickness, disease, and death. And people know sin, sickness, disease, death has made life bitter. But God showed Moses the answer. A tree. What do you think that's a type of? That's the type of the cross. Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. He's redeemed us from the curse of sickness and disease. He has removed a bitter life from our lives through the tree of Calvary. Hallelujah. Apply the tree, the cross, to your life. Apply it to every bitter situation in your life. And the cross will make it sweet. Glory be to God. Every trial and test that you might be currently facing right now, as you go through it in faith, looking to the cross, applying the cross to it, and what Jesus did for you there, I'm telling you, God will cause what the devil meant for evil against you to turn around for your good, and everything bitter will be made sweet. Hallelujah. And he established it here. By a statute and an ordinance, he made it law. He made it a law. I will put none of the diseases on you. And this could actually read this way. I will permit none of the diseases on you which I have permitted on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. It was originally translated in the causative sense, but it should have been translated in the permissive sense. And of course, that makes more sense. The Lord doesn't cause these things, but he will allow these things if we will allow it. If we will allow it. But thank God we don't have to allow any work of the devil in our life anymore. But we can rise up, lift up the cross, lift up the name of Jesus, apply the blood of the Lamb, praise God, and go right on through. Right on through. These bitter situations, these bitter trials and tests, these bitter symptoms, knowing that Jesus makes it all sweet. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. And then the children of Israel continue on. Don't tell me God's not a healing God. The children of Israel continue on. They come to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on the mountain. God begins to speak to him. And then God, right here, in the Old Testament gives Moses a medical book. Has Moses write out a medical book called Leviticus? That's what the book, a lot of the book of Leviticus is just a medical book. How to deal with certain forms of sicknesses and diseases. How to diagnose different conditions, symptoms that people are experiencing. Isn't God good? God is the originator of medical science. And so we come to Leviticus chapter 14. Here in the medical book, we look at what they're to do with someone who is healed of leprosy. In verse 1 of Leviticus 14, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'This shall be the law of the leper for the day of his cleansing.'" For cleansing, you could say healing. The day of his healing. "He shall be brought to the priest." Remember Jesus, when different ones were received healing, especially lepers, he would say to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." Remember that? So here he says, "He shall be brought to the priest," the leper that has been healed. "And the priest shall go out of the camp, and the priest shall look. And indeed, if the leprosy is healed in the leper, then the priest shall command to take for him who is to be cleansed two living and clean birds, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it, the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and dip them, and the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water." Are you starting to see something here? A type, a shadow of Jesus. Verse 7, "And he shall sprinkle it seven times on him who is to be cleansed from the hyssop, and shall pronounce him clean, and shall let the living bird loose in the open field." So here this leper comes. He's been healed. Leprosy was incurable. It's an incurable disease. How did this man get healed? It had to be by the power of God. Had to be through faith in God. And so the leper comes to the priest. And the priest does this really strange ritual. He gets two birds. Cedar wood, which we could just say right there is a type of the cross. The two birds are a type of two peoples. Scarlet, which is a type of sin in the Word of God. And hyssop, which is used for cleansing, and it's symbolic of sanctification. So he takes the two birds and he kills the one and pours out its blood in an earthen vessel. Jesus was the bird that was killed in an earthen vessel. Our bodies are called earthen vessels. Jesus partook of flesh and blood. He partook of flesh and blood. He was killed, and then it was on the cross. That's the cedar wood. And then the scarlet, it was to take away our sins. And then the hyssop, which was to sanctify us and set us apart for God. Then he took the living bird. Who do you think that symbolizes? That's you and me. Takes the living bird and dips him in the blood of the bird that was killed. There's that blood again. Dips him in the blood of Jesus. Have you been baptized in the blood of Jesus? Dips him in the blood of Jesus, and he sprinkles it on the leper, showing that that blood of that bird brings healing of incurable diseases. The blood of the lamb brings healing. He sprinkled it on the leper, said, "You're a healed man. You're a cleansed man." And then he let the bird go, say, "You are free. You are a free bird." Woo-hoo, hallelujah. Do we have any free birds in here? You and I are free birds. We cannot be bound. We cannot be oppressed by the devil when we have applied the blood. When we've applied the blood of the lamb, the blood of the bird, the Lord Jesus Christ, when his blood is applied to our life, you and I can go free from sickness and disease. Once again, we see healing in the type. And if there's healing in the type, how much more? How much more is there healing in the anti-type? In the substance, which is Christ. Oh, glory to God. Let me remind you of Hebrews chapter 8, verse 5. It says, who serve the copy and shadow of the heavenly things, the Old Testament. Copy, it says, copy and a shadow of the heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see, God said to him, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. But now, verse 6, but now he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is a mediator, talking about Jesus, he is a mediator of a better covenant, which is established on better promises. I tell you, we're looking at the old covenant, and it's pretty good. Come on. It's pretty good against sickness and disease, isn't it? It's pretty good. But friend, you and I got the new covenant, which is a better covenant against sickness and disease and all demonic oppression. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have faith that you know about the Lamb of God, that he is now your Lamb? He's not just a Lamb or the Lamb. He's your Lamb. He is our personal Savior and Lord, our Redeemer from every curse, every sickness, every plague. Glory to God. Let's stand on our feet. Let's rejoice in the Lord and just thank him right now for that. Hallelujah.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.